Welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Listen. DDD 866-901 Adam. How say you? Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Bald Brian.
Is she the celebrity or are you the celebrity?
The question on everyone's mind.
She was 12 years old.
It is. All right. They were talking about Julianne Hough. How say you? We'll do that this morning. Also, we'll get into our Mad Marchness or...
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Also, March Madness version of gay walking, which is what had confused me. I guess we're allowed to say that. I don't know how the laws work in this country. Neither do the judges or the lawyers.
Do they own March or Madness?
It's a decent
point. We all
point.
Own anger.
Thank you. Some more than others. Tom Bergeron in studio as well. Also, Dr. Gary Alter. Now, Gary Alter is one of those mad geniuses. He is does gender reassignment surgery, is a board certified in urology and plastic surgery.
That's right. He's one of a handful.
Very rare. He's a very brilliant yet troubled man, but can answer all your cosmetic related questions as well.
He takes boobs off and puts them on.
That's right, and he'll take a penis off and put it on,
that's
too,
right. Yep.
Where the boobies used to be. Also, Mad Marchness, as we're talking about, Lynn and Alex. And, you know, as I, you know, it's weird. I feel like we're right in between a couple of things, as I say. Here's where you don't want to be in society. Where you don't want to be in society is... transitioning, meaning if you had a car and you just drove your car in the 50s, it was just a big old Cadillac and you put lead gas in it and it had a big old carburetor on it and there was no problems. You could fix it yourself. You know, sure, it polluted as much as a boatload of Hondas and what have you, but you were blissfully unaware. Then at a certain, and then you got into the 60s, you got in the muscle car era, and everyone was having fun with their cars, and they weren't thinking about the environment, and everything ran, and you could fix everything and all that stuff. Then something happened in the 70s where they said, hey, man, we got to start cleaning up these cars. We got to get some smog controls on these cars, catalytic converters and air pumps and scrubbers and filters and all that, but we didn't know how to do it. So all the folks that bought a car between 1973 and 1985, historically a miserable time to buy a car. Underpowered, didn't work right, didn't perform. Now we're fine. We've sorted out the problem. We've worked it out. I feel that way about plastic surgery. Dr. Alter's coming in here. I feel like 30, 40 years ago, it didn't really exist. It was just, that was that. Maybe super rich, I don't know, Liz Taylor or Zsa Zsa Gabor got it or something.
Sure.
50 years from now, you won't be able to tell the people that had the plastic surgery from the ones that haven't. It'll move that fast. Historically, when you look back on those years between 1990 and year 2010, those would be the 20 years of experimental phases. And folks will be looking back at pictures of celebrities and pictures of a lot of these luminaries, and they'll go, oh, man, what were they thinking? And we'll be explaining to our grandkids, that's all we had. We didn't have anything else. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I say that probably 50 years from now, certainly 25 and 100 years from now, you won't know it. You just won't know the 50-year-olds from the 30-year-olds. I mean, it's a technology that is moving ahead quickly. There's so much money in it.
There's a great demand for it. Everyone wants to
look
good.
There's a great demand for it, and think how far we've come in the last 10 years. Imagine 100 years from now in that department. Again, it's sort of like the laser. Lots of promises, none really delivered.
Right.
Either way, we'll talk to Alter when he comes out here.
Yeah, you make a good point. I mean, let's just say you had kidney failure, I don't know, 50 years ago before they could really do a kidney transplant effectively. Now, kidney transplant is almost routine, and you can guarantee almost another 10 years, 15 years of life.
It is weird, all those people, and when I say all those people, I mean billions of people who died over things that are considered a routine these days.
Yeah, not sterilizing surgical instruments, for example.
Right. Yeah. Hey, Jess?
Yeah, what up, Adam?
What's happening, Jess?
Yeah, my friend told me that he saw the Spanish network TV, I think it was Telemundo, promoting the movie The Hammer.
Ozzy was on television?
Yeah, promoting the movie The Hammer.
Yeah, now, can I ask this? Because I've always wanted to know. A, does Ozzy have a speech impediment in his native tongue, number one?
We've got to find out.
Number two, can he string together a sentence in his native tongue? Because I was just talking to somebody about this the other day where you do that thing where you go, it's not his first language. And then I was explaining, like Christian De La Fuente,
right.
I work with, you know, on Dancing with the Stars. You do that thing where you go, wow, this is not his first language and he's doing pretty good. And then you think, I bet he's no cut up in his own language. You know what I mean? I know plenty of guys who speak plenty of English. They're boring. They're not funny. They're not interesting. They're stupid. I always give bilingual people the sort of benefit of the doubt. I always go, well, he doesn't speak my language very well, but I'm sure he's a regular Will Rogers of his country. And then
right.
You realize, nah, he's probably just another dope who speaks the language just like everyone around here speaks English. Jess?
Yeah.
How was Ozzy?
He was good.
All right.
And does
he
have...
And he told me, because I work at security during the night from 10 to like 6:30.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes like, hey, did Adam Carolla come out with a movie? I go, yeah, he's promoting that on his radio show. He goes, yeah, it's because I saw Ozzy on Telemundo promoting the movie, The Hammer.
Hammer.
Ozzy. And then like Adam Carolla was sitting down to show a clip of the movie. And, like, there was, like, little kid, like, 8-year-old, goes to the top, and then, like, he was going to act like he was boxing, and then,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, so I go, oh, yeah, like, I think they're playing a movie over here in at Burbank, if you want to go see it. He goes, yeah, dude, it looks like a good movie. I go for it, dude, right there at the AMC in Burbank, go check it out.
Well, it is, and I must say, as I've said before, Lisa Stanley, you guys were not... privy to this. Lisa Stanley, who works up the hall at K-Earth, our sister station. I guess you could call it that.
Oldies.
She is an oldie station up the hall, and she tells it like it is. I'm not sure if you're aware of that.
She's very direct.
She told me three times the last time I did Leno that the cat yeller, not funny. And it was funny, I saw her about 6:30 in the morning, and she saw me in the kitchen. She said, saw you on Leno last night, you were good. Cat whisper, not funny. And I said, all righty. And then she said it again, and I said, all righty again. And then I ran into her in the hall about 9:30, about 3 hours later, and she gave me a booster shot of how unfunny my cat yeller bit was.
In case you had regained some self-confidence?
That's right. Well, who knows? In that 3 hours, other people could have told me it was
right.
Funny and nullified her thumbs down. I just ran into Lisa Stanley, and she said, I saw The Hammer last night. You need to quit your job. You need to quit your job. That was a great movie. That was a great movie.
Hammer.
And I was like, and I'll tell you, people always complain about people that give them crap.
Right.
But you do know where you stand.
Right. You got to have one friend like that that tells you when your haircut's bad or those pants don't look good on you or that joke wasn't funny.
Right. She took a great amount of pride in telling me that my cat yeller bit on the Leno show 2 months ago was not anything close to funny more than once. But when she said The Hammer was great and she loved it and I needed to quit and become a movie star, I knew at least she meant it.
Yeah. You know, she's not blowing sunshine. And by the way, that's what the dude said on At the Movies.
God love him.
Bright future.
All right. Let's see. Somebody has a question about Top Gear, the TV show. Clint?
Good morning, gang.
What's happening, Clint?
Well, driving home from work.
All righty. Where do you work?
Hey, I was wondering how you did on the lap time. Did you do the? Did you film the show yet? Or
no, they told me. They keep telling me not to talk about Top Gear, but it's out anyway. So Top Gear is a huge show out of England, and it's a car show, and it's a sort of the car nuts car nut show. But it's the well, pardon the pun, the Rolls Royce of car shows. A lot of car shows are like
Pimp My Ride.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of sort of tuner car shows where it's like we take $80 and a weekend and we take this 92 Acura and we put new rims on it. And then you have some chicks with bad boob jobs and tramp stamps and they're shaking their ass at some convention that puts out bazooka boom boxes. And
don't be a one-upper, like I said before.
Yeah, they're really like, there's a lot of car shows are kind of lame. And then there's a lot of NASCAR stuff, just tons and tons of NASCAR stuff. But Top Gear is a really cool high-end show out of England that is filmed amazingly and deals with super high-end cars and does really interesting things. They're going to bring that show to the United States, and they want me to host it. And we went out and did a little testing on it over at El Toro Air Force Base, which is a surreal place. It's down halfway to San Diego from Los Angeles. It's a decommissioned Air Force Base, probably put there around World War II. And you forget how big these places are. I mean, you're talking about multiple runways, multiple hangars, and nothing. Nothing but weeds growing in the place. So if you want to go down there and test something out, like burn the tires off an M5, that's the place to do it. Nothing's really gotten started yet. Just a little bit of testing, Clint.
Okay, yeah, I was just wondering if, because you know who holds the record for their lap time on their track, right?
Well, I know it's a sort of a one-off. Oh, you mean the celebrity?
Ty Pennington.
Yeah, the celebrity track time. You know,
no, who does it? Let me explain something really quickly. In the English show,
yeah,
they do the celebrity. Nah, it's called the star in the reasonably priced car.
I like that.
It's a fun thing. The show has huge status in England, and you know you've arrived as a celebrity in England when you're asked to go on Top Gear. It's one of those things. I don't know exactly how it works, but if you're asked, I'm trying to think of, to go on
James Lipton's show.
Yes, inside the actor's workshop.
Yeah.
If you do that, that means obviously you've completed some films and you have some sort of notoriety in this business,
right? If 60 Minutes does a profile on you.
Right. Yeah, would almost be that. That's right. So when you're asked as a celebrity to go on Top Gear, it's not only an honor, but you have to take a regular car once around the track. And to see who the fastest celebrity is. It's the exact same car, and it would be the equivalent of a Toyota Corolla. Right. I mean, it's just a cheap crap box car, just a nothing car, and 1 minute this guy's in it, and the next guy, next time she's in it, and it's the Dame Judi Dench is driving it. And it's mostly English people,
right,
obviously, but the next thing, Hugh Grant, I'm sorry, is in it, and they find out who the fastest celebrity is on the same track in the same car.
That's fun, but it sounds dangerous.
No, it's not because...
Have you driven with Dame Judi?
It's good
crazy
point. It's just a crappy, slow car, you know what I mean? Who is the fastest celebrity, Clint?
Simon Cowell, and I'd like to see him knocked off the top.
No kidding.
Wow.
He's just a pompous ass. I'd like to see him. He was down talking the Lamborghini Gallardo like it was, you know, a piece of crap. And I would just like to see him get knocked off the top.
All right. Well, I'll see what I can do. But unfortunately, I don't think I'm going to be the celebrity in the car. I'll be the guy who hands him the keys. But thanks. Let's see. Maybe we should take ourselves a quick break. I think we should do that. It is kind of fun, though. Every single guest, everybody who comes on the show does one lap, and at a certain point in their interview, they post it up on a big leaderboard to figure out where they rank amongst the celebrities. Sadly, as a guy, what you really don't want to do is get beat by chicks.
I was just thinking that.
Although chicks can drive just as fast as guys, and there's usually 50, 60 pounds, as we've discussed, between the two of them. So they even have a little advantage. The Danica Patricks of the world, the little munchkin chicks, no reason why they can't kick a little male tail on the track. We'll take a quick break. More of your questions, comments, 866-901-ADAM. How say you? We'll keep it going next.
The big news tonight in the world of celebrity ballroom dance, the first ever double elimination on Dancing with the Stars tonight. Two dancers were sent home, and somehow neither one of them was my friend Adam Carolla. I don't know how that happened. His lucky eyebrow comes through again.
Stick around for more of The Adam Carolla Show.